I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. It's been a fun show. It's been a good show. Every time we come in here, Mitch, it's cathartic a little bit to just talk with you guys, have a little normalcy, talk some sports. Hopefully that comes across to you, the listeners, as well.
No doubt about it. It's great to talk BYU sports all the time. And it's what's great about this platform that we have here on KSL News Radio, talking BYU every Saturday, and it's a lot of fun. I definitely enjoy it through these tough times in today, but always enjoy it. And one thing I have enjoyed, too, is the NFL free agency that's been taking place in football.
Yeah, definitely. And we're going to get into the NFL a little bit here in What Are the Odds?
What are the odds? You'll know exactly, more or less, what's going to happen. Probably. What are the odds on Cougar Sports Saturday?
All right. So, Mitch, you mentioned NFL free agency, and I think we should start with some NFL here.
Yeah.
We don't have a new deal, a new contract for quarterback Taysom Hill, but Sean Payton did come out this week and say that Taysom Hill is QB2 in New Orleans. So Breeze comes back, signs the contract. Taysom's QB2. He's the second guy up. So the question that I have for you is, Taysom Hill had 41 snaps that he played at quarterback in 2019. What are the odds that Taysom gets 100 snaps at the quarterback position in 2020? Go ahead, Mitch. We'll let you go first.
I'm going to say 100%. I'm assuming Drew Brees is probably going to have a game or two where he's out and he's not healthy. Taysom Hill is definitely going to have 100 snaps at quarterback for the Saints this year. There's no doubt about it. He's going to be the backup. He's the heir apparent. Brees, at his age, I mean, it's just easy to assume he's probably going to miss a game or two. I'm saying 100%. I think this one's easy.
I'm going to go with 40%. I think that his snaps will increase, but I still think that there's so much value for him. And one position for the Saints that is a weakness, I think, is the tight end position, where he's going to see a lot of snaps. So I think his total snaps will go up, but I still think he's going to have a lot of snaps not in that quarterback position.
Yeah, well, that is a curious thing, because Taysom did play, I believe it's 85 snaps at tight end last year. So he played double the amount of snaps as a tight end than he did as a quarterback. And they've obviously used him in that kind of role, so it'll be interesting to see. There's a link. It's Saints Wire. I think it's a little blog for the Saints. Broke down all the snaps for Taysom and exactly what position he played. Interesting stuff if you guys check that out. But, yeah, so it's just interesting, Matt, because you're like the Taysom guy.
Oh, yeah.
So why are you not as bullish on him and increasing the snaps at quarterback?
Drew Brees returned. That's why. So I think that Taysom Hill is the heir apparent in New Orleans, but I think it's still going to revolve around Drew Brees, and I just think we're going to see a copycat of last season, and then it'll be the Taysom show the next year.
Yeah, so you think it's just he's still just going to be the backup, let Brees do his thing this year.
Sean Payton said, too, that they're going to have another quarterback on the roster, because if Taysom gets hurt, they're going to have another guy. So they'll probably draft a guy, and then it'll be business as usual. I don't think we'll see Taysom Hill in the special teams much at all anymore, But I think in terms of his distribution between quarterback and other positions, I think it'll be similar to last year.
Huh, yeah, fair enough.
What do you think, Mitch?
I'm just kind of surprised, guys, that we haven't heard a team offer, extend an offer sheet to Taysom Hill yet. We know that the first-round tender went his way, and maybe that just scared teams off from, you know, potentially having to give up a first-round pick. I mean, maybe that says a message to, you know, how the league views Taysom Hill, and that the Saints believe in him. Maybe the rest of the league just feels like, hey, a first-round pick, that's stretching it for a guy that some people say is a, quote, poor man's Lamar Jackson, poor man Taysom. That's a bit much there. Taysom Hill is a good quarterback. He's going to be very good. But still, I don't think the league is completely all bought in on Taysom Hill quite yet. And I think that's why we haven't seen an offer sheet yet, which kind of surprised me because I thought one team would dive in and take that offer or extend that offer. But he's going to be a Saints quarterback, and he's going to be the backup, and I'm excited to see what he can do as that heir apparent to Drew Brees in 2020 and beyond.
Winners and losers of NFL free agency on the other side. We'll be back after this.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Touchdown! Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in. It's hard to believe we're down to our two final segments here on Cougar Sports Saturday. It's been a fun show. It's going by fast. It's been a blast to talk some sports. On the other side of the break, we were talking about Taysom Hill and the Saints in the NFL, and we want to continue that here, some NFL discussion as NFL free agency is kind of winding down. There's still some names out there, but we're getting a clearer picture of what the NFL is going to look like when it returns after the free agent period. So we want to do a little winners and losers according to each of us here at Cougar Sports Saturday. So let's start things off with a winner from each of us. We can start with Mitch. Mitch, who is your first NFL free agency winner?
Well, it's pretty easy, guys. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. My Vegas Raiders are a winner in free agency because they get a quarterback in Marcus Mariota who, you know, he could be the starter. Maybe he could push Derek Carr. He's going to be the backup most likely, but, you know, he could be a starter for the Raiders if need be. He's quality backup, and they got guys like Jason Witten. I think the Raiders overall did a really nice job in free agency, and they didn't have to extend a ton of money to an old quarterback that was maybe on the last year or two of his career. So I think the Raiders are in a good spot. They're doing some really good things with Mike Mayock and Gruden leading the way, and I think they still need to fix that that quarterback spot, maybe get someone in the draft. But in free agency, the Las Vegas Raiders were a huge winner to me.
They're a winner for me as well. I don't know about you, Down. Were they a winner for you? No.
It was good. I liked the Mariota deal. I liked that deal. It was fine. I have other teams I thought did better, but, you know, I think Moving to Vegas is the biggest win, right? And that's the biggest win for the...
Some of the deals that they signed that Mitch did not mention, I think, are some of their better deals. Corey Littleton is a nice linebacker.
Yeah.
As a Rams fan, I hated to lose him to the Raiders. Jeff Heath, I mean, he's a serviceable safety. They made a lot of moves that they weren't the value, the contract value wasn't huge. So, yeah, I'm with Mitch. I think the Raiders did a lot of another move. Nelson Aguilar, I know that he's kind of slipped a little bit for Philadelphia, but a one-year deal for $1 million, like, that's a no-brainer. I think the Raiders did a nice job, a really nice job.
Yeah, and their offseason, I mean, obviously with the NFL draft, isn't quite over. And I think some help at wide receiver is needed, and they are in a position in the NFL draft to get one of the top wide receivers. So if they were to add a Jerry Jeudy or a CeeDee Lamb, I think I'd probably be more optimistic.
Well, this is just free agency winners and losers.
As far as free agency goes, I think they had a good free agent.
So who do you have as a winner then?
Well, so the first one that comes to mind to me, speaking of wide receivers, is the Arizona Cardinals and the absolute fleecing that they did to the Houston Texans. Not only did they get DeAndre Hopkins, who is a top three wide receiver,
yeah,
they also didn't give up a first round pick, which they draft at number 8, and they also got off of the David Johnson contract, who is making, I think, just $1 million less than the DeAndre Hopkins. And David Johnson has not produced well over the last couple years. They get off of this contract they wanted to get off of. They didn't give up a first-round pick, and they got a top three wide receiver in the league to pair with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury and an improved second-half offense for the Cardinals. I'm really optimistic about them, and I thought this was an excellent move.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I would feel really happy if I was a Cardinals fan.
They were also one of my winners, Mitch. So I'm almost out of winners already, and we just started talking free agency. But, yeah, what the Cardinals did was really nice. That was a great trade. And one of the sneaky under-the-radar moves, I know it's not a free agent acquisition this season, but being able to retain Kenyon Drake, who came onto the scene a little bit for the Cardinals last year, I think that's a really nice offense with Drake, Murray, and then you throw in Hopkins. And I think they still have Ricky Seals-Jones at tight end. I think the Cardinals, that division is crazy. The Rams, who were under the new playoff structure, they would have been in the playoffs last year. Seattle, San Francisco, now Arizona's on the come up. Yeah, that was a really good thing. I'll just finish off my winners list, then I'll turn the time over to you guys. My last winner, so I shared the Raiders with Mitch, shared the Cardinals with Dallin. Tampa Bay was one of my final winners. I think bringing in Tom Brady, that's whether you love him or not, and I don't think he's obviously on the downward end of his career, you can't argue that he's an upgrade over Jameis Winston. And then they have the arguably the best wide receiver group in the NFL. You bring back the Ndamukong Suh, who was good for them. I think Tampa Bay is clearly a playoff team, and they're no doubt, in my opinion, a winner of NFL free agency. Mitch? You got another winner?
Yeah, I'm with you there, too. I mean, the Bucs, hands down, a winner. I mean, you get Tom Brady, even if it's just for a year or two. I mean, he's an all-timer. He's the best to ever do it in the league's history. And, you know, Jameis Winston's interesting, though, because he's a guy that I still think is a starter in the National Football League, but character issues, and he turns the ball over like crazy. And in an era now where in free agency where teams can't have in-person physicals, they can't do their own thing, they got to go with an independent doctor or source for these physicals, Jameis Winston might not have a team in the near future here until this all gets sorted out with COVID-19. Same with Cam Newton. So it's kind of a unique how those guys are really talented, and a lot of teams would be well served to have those guys. But yeah, the Buccaneers definitely get an upgrade, and they're going to be in now that same division with, you know, the Saints and Drew Brees and Taysom Hill. How sweet would it be, guys, if we see Taysom in a start against the Bucs?
Oh, yes.
Brady versus Taysom Hill. Inject that into my veins right now. I need that in my life.
That would be great. So you got the Raiders, the Bucs. Who else you got, Mitch?
I'd also say the Cleveland Browns. I think I liked the pickup of Case Keenum. I thought he was a nice pickup as a backup QB to Baker Mayfield, and I think that's notable because I don't think Baker Mayfield's that great. I think the Browns are going to have to maybe turn to a backup, and that's where they go probably to a guy like Case Keenum, and they also have a ton of cap space. So I thought Cleveland did a nice job with their pickups, and I thought ultimately last year they had that big, you know, splashy offseason where they're getting Odell Beckham and things like that, but now they kind of did more of a conservative approach. It's going to serve him a lot better down in the long run because Baker Mayfield's not the guy, and I think we're going to continue to see that this fall if the NFL season goes off.
Well, and the biggest question for the Browns was offensive line. So to pick up Jack Conklin, who is a great right tackle, I mean, that's solid. They'll have a chance to address the rest of the offensive line in the draft. So Austin Hooper, a really solid tight end, just adds another weapon.
Yeah.
I liked the Browns offseason. The last one that I had was, ironically, the other team that traded for a wide receiver, and that's the Buffalo Bills, who did trade a first-round pick but got Stephon Diggs from Minnesota. And this Buffalo Bills team was a playoff team last year that heavily relied on their defense. But I think adding a true number one wide receiver to the Buffalo Bills offense is going to do wonders for Josh Allen. You pair him along with John Brown, Cole Beasley, who are both solid wide receivers, and hopefully improvement from Josh Allen. And Buffalo maybe, in my mind, puts himself in a position to be the favorite in the AFC East, I think, at this point, with Tom Brady leaving the Patriots, yeah. and you know, with the Dolphins in a rebuild and the Jets, we don't really know where they're at. I think Buffalo is clearly number one, and that Stephon Diggs move, I think, really proved that to me, along with some mid-tier solid additions that they made.
It's funny you bring up the Vikings as we switch to our losers of NFL free agency. I'll just go quickly. My three losers at the top: Minnesota losing Diggs, as you mentioned, and then. You don't replace him with anybody. You get Tajay Sharp on a one-year deal, but that's not going to work. And then you re-up Kirk Cousins, who I think is an average quarterback at best. The money he's making didn't make a lot of sense. I had the Vikings as a loser, Bears as a loser, getting Nick Foles and Jimmy.
Not a Nick Foles fan, huh?
What he did in Philly was nice, but I don't think that's going to be replicated. Jimmy Graham is really old. They paid a lot of money for Robert Quinn. He's a nice defensive end, but nothing special. And then the Patriots are obviously a loser. You lose Tom Brady and you get Brian Hoyer instead, and then they don't address any of their other needs. They don't bring in any weapons. They don't upgrade the offensive line. I think it'll work out for the Patriots because they have a million picks, but for this particular offseason, definitely a loser in my opinion.
Mitch, what about you for losers?
You know, For me, definitely the New England Patriots. I think that the Patriots are going to potentially be starting Jarrett Stidham. Come on now. I mean, that just at quarterback, that just doesn't compute in my mind to think that the Patriots.
War Eagle?
With Jarrett Stidham, because even before Tom Brady, they had Drew Bledsoe. I mean, it's just that doesn't make sense. That's why I'm kind of confused as to why we haven't seen the Patriots get after Taysom Hill, or maybe they got some master plan where they're going to move up into the draft. Who knows what Bill Belichick he's doing. Maybe I saw some video, some meme of Bill Belichick. It was, it was Frank Caliendo and the other guy that does that impression of
yes.
Andrew Luck. And they did this scene or sketch where they were impersonating the two, and Bill Belichick was calling up Andrew Luck to get him. But that's not going to happen because the Colts still have the rights to Andrew Luck if he did come back to the league. But, you know, I think the Patriots are definitely a loser. I also think, too, players with injury history. I mentioned Cam Newton earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's someone that's got a list of injuries. And now with these teams not being able to perform those physicals, he might be out of work for a long period of time. And not many teams need starting quarterbacks right now. So you could see some quality quarterbacks just relegated to backup roles and not signed till maybe June or July, maybe. Because of this situation of teams not being able to handle things in person.
Yeah, speaking of Cam Newton, that is one of the losers from NFL free agency. And I have a place for Cam Newton to succeed. And it's a team I mentioned already. It's the Buffalo Bills. Sign him as the backup and let him compete for Josh Allen's job. Because it's either going to elevate Josh Allen to the level you need him at.
What?
Or a healthy Cam
this
Newton
is, crazy.
Is a better quarterback than Josh Allen last year.
Any other losers quickly,
sense.
Dallin?
The Patriots. Brian yes. Hoyer? That's what we're doing? Come on.
All right, we'll take our final break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll be back on the other side to wrap up the show as we finish up this edition of Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.